This is a Sound Rebel podcast.
To work with us on your podcast, go to soundrebel.co.uk. Over the Influence is no longer just a podcast. Our online community is buzzing with people like you.
I'm Danielle from Hertfordshire, and I'm nearly 10 months sober now. I was probably what you'd call a grey area drinker. I didn't drink all the time, but when I did, I didn't really have an off switch, and it just left me feeling low energy, low motivation, and just not really an optimal version of myself. I joined the OTI community after listening to the awesome Over the Influence podcast for quite a few months, and I've never looked back. There's Zoom calls every week on different days. You actually get to see Shaz and Ben, which is so exciting, and make that kind of community a reality and really come to life. I would highly, highly recommend joining the Over the Influence community. It was the game changer for me to feel connected in sobriety.
You've heard the podcast. Now join the conversation. Go to overtheinfluence.co.uk.
Welcome to this week's episode of Over the Influence. It's fantastic to be back. I say we've had a little break. We missed one single episode. Blame me, I've been celebrating my birthday, I've been on the beach, I'm now officially 50, but also 5 years and a couple of months alcohol free. It is ace to be back. And if you are just finding us for the very first time, let me introduce ourselves. My name is Sharon Hartley. Everybody calls me Shaz, based in Lancashire in the northwest of England. As I said, I'm 50. I made the decision to remove booze just before my 45th birthday. So the latter half of this decade has been spent completely and utterly alcohol free. I didn't think I'd be here. I didn't think I'd be turning 50, sober and loving life. Who flipping knew? So many people say, Shaz, how bad did it get? How much did you drink? Too much, too fast, too often. And nobody needs a rock bottom. Don't wait for that. Absolutely don't. If you're feeling like you need to change your relationship with alcohol, absolutely crack on, because I can tell you, hand on heart, it's absolutely life-changing. Can you tell I'm a bit giddy, Ben, about turning 50? But I'm excited to be back as well, and I'm excited for our guest today. I don't do this on my own, Ben Anderson. I've missed you, Ben. I've missed you.
Oh, sorry, Shaz. Sorry, I've had a really long day. I'm a bit tired. Our guest is looking at us like, what are you on about, mate? We've got our first jet-lagged guest today.
Like, actually properly jet-lagged.
He's literally head in hands, just kind of like, why did I agree?
Yeah.
It's like a weird cheese dream for Chris. He's coming. Because we obviously, before we press the record button, we have a bit of a chat. And because we haven't recorded for a while, we are a bit giddy. Chris, apologies. We'll come to you in a second. I'm Ben. I'm 35. I live in Liverpool. I've been alcohol-free now for over 3 years. And I always say that I didn't have a drinking problem in the kind of, you know, what's that called? Air quotes.
Yeah.
Didn't have a drinking problem. But drinking caused me problems that aren't there. Now I don't drink. And what you're saying, Shaz, about not having a rock bottom, don't wait for a rock bottom. It was Billy Connolly that said, I quit drinking whilst it was still my idea. That's a kind of a fundamental principle of Over the Influence, isn't it? That anyone can benefit from removing alcohol. It doesn't matter what kind of drinker you were. For me, I was a binge drinker. I didn't drink every day, but I'd go out on a Friday night and I'd get absolutely smashed. And I'd do stupid stuff and I'd say stupid things. And I'd wake up on a Saturday feeling regret. And then I'd spend the rest of Saturday not doing the things that I said I'd do and just lying on the sofa, watching crap TV and eating crap food. Removing alcohol for me was an absolute game changer. I've got a wife, I've got a son, I've got two stepkids. I'm sure they wouldn't be. My life wouldn't look like that if I'd carried on drinking, because I didn't have a rock bottom. But as Wise Tim said on one of our very first Zoom calls, I could see it from where I was standing. It was only going one way. Right. We've done enough talking. We've given Chris enough time to wake up. Shaz, are you going to do the intro?
I feel like I should just be very gentle and maybe whisper, because Chris looks absolutely goosed. And it, he doesn't know if it's morning, afternoon or evening. Let's give this chaos a little bit of context. We bang on so much, not only about sobriety and about the joys of removing alcohol. We bang on a lot about our online community, about the people in there, about how it connects people, about how it changes lives and all the rest of it. Our guest on the podcast at the moment, one guest, we think, fingers crossed, we've got another one joining us shortly. And this is all part of the story. Stick with us. It's a little bit chaotic, but we will get there. Chris Hoos, welcome to the chaos that is Over the Influence. You are due to catch a flight soon back to the United States. You've flown over pretty much for the weekend for an OTI Christmas meal to spend some time with the OTI members in Scotland. It sounds bonkers. It is bonkers. But first of all, welcome. It's a joy to have you here. How the hell are you feeling?
I'm feeling okay. I am very confused what day or time it is, but other than that, I'm doing well. But yeah, I'm hanging in there. But yeah, I fly out. So I am literally looking out the window at Edinburgh Airport. So I'm hoping there's no jets that go over. I'm going to have to hit mute. But yeah, I fly out tomorrow at 9 a.m.
Right. So you've got loads of time. This is fine, actually. This is fine, Chris. This is okay. You've got loads of time. You're going to get a good night's sleep. Ben, where do we start with Chris? Where do we start?
So I remember when we did our first ever OTI event, and do you remember Nicole flew across from Brisbane to do the Yorkshire Three Peaks Challenge? And we said, as a joke, well, now we've got to make sure that we've got an international member on every single one of our OTI events going forward, thinking, of course, that would never happen. And then Chris joined the community. And honestly, now is the time to buy shares in United Airlines, because my God, Chris is single-handedly keeping them going. Because Chris, let's start with who are you? And please include that, where are you? Because how on earth have we ended up talking on a podcast that's based in the north of England, in the UK, with you travelling across? Your air miles must have been, they must think, oh, this guy got a new job.
They're racking up, yeah.
They're racking up. Let's start. Tell us a bit about you, Chris, and then we'll get into your OTI adventure shortly.
Oh, man, where to start? So I think it's easy to say in hindsight. I think looking back, I was probably more like you. So I'm 35. So I think I always was, it's never like a daily drinker, but always was the one leading the charge and taking it a bit too far. So I would pretty much go hard on the weekends. So I was kind of a classic binge drinker. And I think, as you know, it's kind of a cliche. I think everybody has such a similar story who's in that boat. I think it was always, if you looked at like a percentage, I think it was always, it's mostly really good and really fine. And then there's just a little bit of, oh, this isn't so great. But I think as it ramps up and as you get older, kind of that percentage of it not being, you know, the negative effects were starting to kind of ramp up. And then again, like so many people, I think with lockdown and working from home, that was just another barrier that got removed of like, I could probably, sure, why not? I'll go out because I just have to make it to my crawl from my bed to my desk working from home. So I think that's during lockdown and COVID and everything. That's when it was really starting to ramp up, which I won't go into the gory details. I didn't really have a rock bottom or anything super dramatic or exciting. It was just like, okay, this is getting to be too much. And I think, I don't know how the Instagram algorithms had me figured out, but I kept getting pinged with like Sober Dave. And I wish I was more awake because I would do a Sober Dave impression.
Oh, we'll leave that to Ben. Don't worry. Ben does it. Ben does a fine one.
Look, right, this is breaking confidence now, because I will often do my Sober Dave impression on the premium podcast, which you can access for £5 a month if you're listening on Apple. I have not done my Sober Dave on the free podcast that's available to the entire world.
Yeah, don't do that.
Because I don't want Sober Dave to think I'm taking... I love Sober Dave. It's just such a satisfying voice to do. It's just...
It's great.
I can't.
It's really good. Mm. I'm not going to do it. I'm not going to alienate and insult most of your listeners with my...
So, I mean, how long ago did you find my podcast, One for the Road, then, Chris?
I think I was exchanging voice notes with Danielle or something, because we share a love of accents. We were doing a lot on the Edel walk. We were doing accents back and she does fantastic accents. But I did Sober Dave and I was like, oh, what is that? And she's like, oh my God, you are Sober Dave.
Wow.
You've got to do it now. You've got
we
to do it.
We can't make him do it. He's tired. He's tired and emotional. No, we said we'd be gentle. Let's bring it back. The algorithms, Sober Dave started appearing on your feed.
I think I was like so hesitant to, I didn't follow him, but I would keep peeking in, you know, that sort of thing, which I think is common. But anyway, I think, and I remember I actually sent him a message, I want to say, of when I was like at a real low point. And he actually responded right away. It was super nice.
Great guy.
Oh, that's so lovely.
Yeah, he was really, really nice guy. But I think I saw like William Porter, because he used to do like a series of interviews, but I saw him on Sober Dave's thing and I was like, oh, I loved the way he would break things down. And it just was my cup of tea with kind of the more logical science-based, like here's what's going on, and just very cut and dry. So I was like, oh, I'm going to read this book. So that I got Alcohol Explained. And again, at that point I had been toying with, I think deep down, I mean, I think we all know you kind of have that voice where it's like, I kind of know that this is something that I shouldn't be doing. That's, but you kind of, as you know, kind of shove that down. But I think I read Alcohol Explained and something that was kind of the last, this, I mean, it was like somebody was writing it about me, especially the part about going on binges. And it's like, this is why you do this. And then you kind of look back and you're like, how did that happen? And it's just, it made me feel less alone for sure, where it's like, oh, this is common. So I read that. And then I think I literally was just searching podcasts for more of his content. And then I think that's when I stumbled on the OTI episode that he was on. So literally just completely random. I'm sitting in Western New York, you know, in a hungover state. And I found the William Porter episode. And of course, you and Shaz, and I'm like, what the hell?
What the hell? He says, what the hell?
I really relate to this 50-year-old Northern woman who says that she wangs on about sobriety.
It is the cliche. It was just so upbeat. And I literally, I'm not going to make Shaz emotional. I'm too tired to get emotional. So I'm sorry, you're not going to get any waterworks from me. But it was very emotional. But I remember listening to the episode, and then I was just, for some reason, just kept listening. And I remember, and I was still drinking at that point. But again, I would take like a month off and then just get right back into it. And it's just that hopeless, like, oh my God. And just that, what is, you know, it's so easy to go into shame about that, of like, what is the matter with me? But I remember I just kept listening to the podcast, never joined the community or thought about it. And then eventually did stop after like a particularly wild wedding weekend again, but just kept listening. And then eventually something stuck. I mean, I think I was in therapy, and I'm still I'm in therapy every week, which was a total game changer as well. But again, was with him a year before I stopped, but having that accountability and somebody to talk to was huge. And then finally stopped. And then I was approaching my year. So, I mean, I was well into, I'd done my first sober wedding. I was in the bachelor party or stag do, had kind of got all that under my belt. And then I think I was listening to an episode, and then Shaz was advertising like the Ben Nevis thing. And I love to travel. Always wanted to go to Scotland. So I was like, I'm going to book on, you know, I think I'm going to do like, I'll book onto that trip. And then again, I was coming up in my year, and I just told Shaz this the other day, but like, I literally only joined the community. I was fully, I mean, this isn't just me bullshitting. I was truly like, I'll pay my month just to join, but solely for the purpose of meeting Shaz. So I could literally just to say thank you. That's all I wanted to do, is to be like, hey, I thought you'd think it was amazing that your podcast has made its way to this random place in Western New York. So I literally just joined to meet Shaz, which I did. And I remember I hopped on a Zoom and was like, oh my God, this is crazy. This is so weird. But I remember, and actually really random, you actually joined, you hopped on that Zoom of Shaz's, which I don't think you've done since, because I'm always on those Friday afternoon Zooms, but you jumped on and it was just this surreal, I didn't know how much to share or what to say. I was just like, oh, thank you so much. And then I sent Shaz like an email afterwards and just was like, you know, I'm sure, I don't know how much it's going to mean, but like, this has been, had such an impact and was a huge part of me, you know, just the upbeat, and really gave me hope, you know, on those mornings when I woke up super hungover and feeling hopeless, and it kept me kind of hanging on. And that's literally all I thought it was going to be. And then I remember talking to my therapist. I'm like, I think it's there's something really nice about hopping on and seeing all these faces and people who get it, because you just, which is such a common thing, but I just don't have anybody in my life who's questioning their relationship with alcohol or anything like that. And it was just this filling the cup type feeling where I'd, you know, get off the Zooms and be like, huh, like that was actually really, really nice. And I just kept up with it and kept, and before I knew it, I was like, oh yeah, I'll sign up for an annual membership, and then booked on to the Ben Nevis trip. And then
I need to get the timeline right here, because we met in Malvern, Chris. Now, look, I kind of get it. Ben Nevis, it's the UK's highest mountain. You've always wanted to go to Scotland. I can see why, you know, these things, putting them together, you're going to meet a load of people who get it, you know, like-minded people who've also chosen to remove alcohol. All of these things kind of add up, and I can see why someone sitting in Western New York would book on that and go, right, I'm flying over for that. Malvern, not so much. I mean, it's a lovely place, really lovely place, but it's not kind of like bucket list stuff, is it? You know what? Because that was before Ben Nevis, wasn't it?
It was. Well, I was told the weather in the UK would be really beautiful in March. No, I'm just kidding.
We lied. We just wanted to get you over here. We lied.
So I'd already booked on, and again, that was kind of a leap of faith of like, fuck it. And then I remember like I purposely booked, it was like a train ride. I mean, I'd booked things like really close to the end of the event, because I'm like, I'm going to want to get the fuck out of there. Like, I'm going to want, like, I'm going to want to meet these people, and I'm going to probably want to like bail. Remember, I booked, that was like the only thing I booked in advance, was like, I'm booking a train ride that morning in Fort William, because I'm going to want an out. Then I'll have an out to leave. So I'll be like, all right, bye. That was great. See you guys later. But yeah, so I think I booked that. And then again, that was pretty early on. I think that was closer to like New Year's. And then just so strange, and just became friends with a couple community members in particular. And then I was like, I don't think I want to wait until August. And I was like, why don't I come out? And you know, my birthday's at the end of March. So I was like, let me have a look at flights. And I was like, oh, it's the first OTI event of the season, I'll check it out. And just, it was just a total spontaneous kind of spur of the moment thing, but it was amazing.
How many have you done now then, Chris? How many times have you been to the UK? Because had you been to the UK before?
Never, no.
See, never been. And how many times have you been this year?
This is my fourth time.
Fourth. Once a quarter. Never been. 35 years. And now it's been four times.
All he wanted to do was say, "Aye, Shaz, enjoyed the pod. See you later." He's been to the UK four times. You know what, Chris? This is so funny. And it's actually brilliant. It's amazing. And it does show the power of connection in sobriety. I know it sounds cliched and we bang on about it, it's because it's true. There was one moment where I think Chris thought it was in some sort of like weird film. Was it Malvern? I can't remember which event it was, and you didn't want to drive on the other side of the road. You were knackered and jet lagged. I said, look, I'll come pick you up at your Airbnb and I'll take you to the restaurant where we're having tea tonight. And I picked him up. Now bear in mind, Chris is about 6'4", 6'5", I don't know, and I'm this short, wide, stumpy woman from the northwest of England in my little mini. So he's looking, going. So he goes to get in the wrong side of the car anyway, because, you know, not in America, and then gets in it with his knees like up to the roof like this. And it was like that scene out of Mr. Bean. And I think Chris thought it was in some sort of parallel universe, didn't you? I think that moment for you was like, what the fuck has happened to my life?
Oh, yeah, that was your, that the first trip, I mean, the first trip out there was really overwhelming, really took me off guard, because you think it's good. I'd been like around Europe a bit, but again, just kind of, it was more of a party, drink my way through, just a total shit show. But in the UK, you're thinking like, okay, everybody speaks English, it'll be all good. And it's just enough different to throw you off. It was such a chaotic, because I landed in London, tried to see as much as I could around London. So I was like speed walking around, and I was like, right, I gotta go. And then like, got a train to Heathrow, got in my rental car. It's the first time I've ever driven on the other side of the road. So I'm like, it's raining. So I'm thinking like, I'm racing to get in the rental car. I thought the guy was going to like, give me a second to orient myself to everything being completely reversed. And he's looking at me like, come on, come on, come on, come on. Like,
rush, rush, rush. You're in the UK now. Rush, rush.
Just pouring rain. I'm like, oh my God. And just absolute chaos. I remember I was like, oh my God, I have to get gas. And I didn't see any signs on the motorway that said like gas or petrol. And I think I called, was it Maz or somebody? And I was just in a panic. And I was like, where does one get petrol?
Petrol.
have you passed any signs that say services? And I was like, yeah, a lot of them. And she's like, okay.
Yeah. Reverse, back <That's> up. The... Oh, crazy.
But yeah, that first trip was just, I remember I did a long post on the forum about it, but it was just so overwhelming. I mean, not only the cultural and being out of my mind with jet lag, but it was just, I think you don't realize. Cause I think it's like, I'm good. Like I'm over a year in at that point, like self-sufficient, I'm good. And I think that was the most overwhelming thing. It was just, it's like eating and you don't realize how hungry you are. It's just like, oh my God, like that's exactly what was missing. And it was just so, I mean, I remember being so emotional when I left. It was just, I didn't realize that was kind of a missing piece that I had. And it was just so overwhelming to finally get it.
Tell us a little bit more about that missing piece.
I think it just can be a very lonely thing. Like when you decide to make such a big change, and it's something that's, you know, everywhere. And I think that's the beauty of joining the community, I think, is obviously having like-minded people who are also making the decision where you don't feel like you're making such a crazy, what the fuck am I doing? Is this really this big of a deal? And it's like the quote Ben always says, if you can see it, you can be it. But I think it took it to the next level where it's like, oh no, this is actual meaningful human connection. So like even beyond the not drinking thing, I think it's, I mean, it makes me realize, I think I don't really have that so much. I mean, I think you have that with drinking, and you think you have that with the people you're going out, and you wake up the next morning hungover and you're like, oh, that was crazy, and telling wild stories and stuff like that. But I think drinking gives the, not to say that, you know, some of those people weren't my friends or anything. I won't take it to that extreme, but I think it gives the illusion, I think, of connection when it's really based on this one thing, and it's really based on a bad habit that you have. Or it's really just, you know, so I think obviously when you remove that and going, you know, and spending such meaningful time and meeting people, it's like an instant. I mean, I think I know you tell people that who haven't joined events, and it's so true. It's like you literally meet people and it's like you're already on the same level, and it's just you all of that stuff is stripped away, and you're just having kind of pure, really meaningful human connection. So
it's the whole thing just fills me with absolute delight and joy and happiness, because when we decided to start doing this, we never thought that we'd have someone who'd never been to the UK before booking four trips in 1 year to spend time with our community. It's completely and utterly mind-blowing for me and Chaz. And I remember when you first said, Chaz, oh, Chris is coming from New York. The excitement that we get from
totally is
absolutely huge.
Ben, my mum even baked cakes for him. She's like, oh, is your friend coming over from States again? I'll do him some gingerbread on next walk.
Yeah. I mean, you know, tell us about this weekend. And we're hoping to be joined by Aaron very soon. Now, Aaron, you've been with him a mere few hours ago. He dropped you off to Edinburgh Airport and he's heading back to Glasgow.
He's stuck in traffic. Just FYI.
He's stuck in traffic, yeah.
However, fingers crossed, he will be able to join us before this chat ends. So hold that thought.
Because we know how good friends you and Aaron are now, that you've met through the community, how close you are with a number of people actually who are part of OTI. But what I think is really special about this weekend, we've talked about the trips, you know, I'm going to come across, I'm going to meet a load of people, and it's going to be an OTI event, and we're going to do this big thing like climb Ben Nevis and tick it off the bucket list. I've always wanted to walk in the Malvern Hills, and the amount of people that have told me that I've got to get to Malvern before I die. But this weekend was different, wasn't it? Because this wasn't an official Over the Influence event this weekend. Can you tell us about what you've been up to?
Yeah, so this one was a little weird. So yeah, obviously I just got back from, sort of just fresh off my trip back from Edale, which was amazing. Had such a nice time. I don't know, it was just, I think Aaron caught me at the right time. Aaron and I talk all the time. I think I talk to OTI people literally every day in one way or another, but I was literally just sitting working and Aaron, we're just exchanging voice notes, and he's like, oh, and then we have this OTI Scotland Christmas dinner. He's like, which by the way, you should totally come for. It was like a joke. And then I was like,
actually,
This was like 2 or 3 weeks before. I mean, this was only like 2-3 weeks ago. And then I looked and I have no idea why, but yeah, flights were really inexpensive. So I was like, fuck it, I'll do it.
Well, this is a great time just to hold that thought, because Aaron has got back off his journey to the call. We'll let him gather his thoughts for a couple of minutes. He's just sat down. Let's see if he can breathe. He looks like he's out of breath.
Aaron,
unmute yourself. How the hell are you? We were just talking about you.
Good evening. Good evening. Sorry I'm late.
How are you?
I'm quite stressed. a journey that should take 50 minutes took me 2 hours. But, you know, I was driving from Edinburgh to the other side of Glasgow. And the whole way, the journey, it was flashing on the sat-nav saying, oh, you'll get there for 10 past. It'll be fine. It'll be fine. And then it would go 10:30. And then it would go 10:10. And then it was just like, oh. So anyway, but I don't want to talk about me sitting in traffic. So.
And how long your journey is when Chris is flying back to New York.
Yeah, don't you dare, Aaron.
I know.
So it's brilliant that you've made it. Thank you so much, Aaron. Just introduce yourself to us. Tell people who you are and where you're from. And it always sounds like a blind date introduction, this bit. And then we'll bring you back into where Chris was with sharing his weekend.
Yeah, fantastic. So my name's Aaron and I live in a village about 25 minutes normally, kind of south of Glasgow. I've had many day ones, and I suppose I've always wanted to try and have a long stint alcohol-free. And I used to listen to the podcast and I would follow the Instagram page, and then I would maybe get 3 days, 4 days, and I would, of course, start to feel better and go, actually, I don't have an issue with alcohol. And I would unfollow the Instagram page.
Then
start back drinking, and then kind of constantly just finding myself almost having another day one. But I was coming up to, it was going to start dry January this year. And it was also the year that I was turning 30. And I thought, how cool would it be for my 30th year to go alcohol free? So really in the back of my head, I always had a plan to do it for longer. But really the goal was just to finish dry January and see where we went from there. The longest stint I had done was 6 weeks in August, September, the year before. And a video that I've sent to Shaz and Chris of where I filmed myself going back to drinking and having my first glass of wine. And the key word in there that I had said was all in moderation, of course, of which I'm now a firm believer that moderation doesn't work and it's a total waste of time. But essentially, I joined the community halfway through dry January and thought, God, this is, I almost thought I didn't need to join the community. I thought I can probably just do this myself. And I joined on a Sunday, posted in the forum, joined Neil's Sunday Zoom, and we had a really good 10-minute chat before the actual call started. I had joined early and he joined early. And everyone stayed and listened to me at the end, so it ran on to like 10:10. And Neil was just this great guy, just a really normal guy, and realised that actually a lot of people in the... I know the word normal, but, you know. And really... You know, I've said it to Neil many times, but he is my biggest inspiration within the community. And he said, once I got to...
sorry to interrupt. Chris just, he just looked at the camera and
he's
was like
what? Hang on.
Are you serious?
Oh, sorry.
He's only flown across the Atlantic. It's fine, Aaron, carry on.
Neil's one of my biggest inspirations too, by the way.
He's ace. We love him. Of course we do.
But I then, he said, right, well, what's the plan after 30 days? And I was like, well, let's go for 100 days. And then we went for 100 days and then thought, right, let's go for 6 months. And then slowly your mindset, it's difficult to I wouldn't have been able to believe this when I first joined in my early days of sobriety, but suddenly there's something switches and you just go, actually, this is me for good now. Like, I can't see myself going back to drinking. I tell family and friends that I don't drink and I don't plan on going back to it. So I'm now 34 days away from hitting a year.
Woo!
Amazing.
For me, you know, someone that drank every day, and I thought my drinking was quite normal, you know.
Yeah, don't we all, Aaron, at the time? Don't we all?
That's me in a nutshell. I live in my own as well, so I think it's equally challenging being in your own as it is maybe being a couple and the other partner maybe still drinks. I think that must be really tough. But it's great when you meet people who their partners have also gone alcohol-free, like Kaz and Tim in the community, or Angela and her husband Michael. You know, people, it's great that they're doing it together, which is also lovely. So,
can I just jump in and just quickly say that, you know, I remember Chris joining the community. I do remember that first call, because I always get dead excited. I'm like, oh, we're dead international. Oh, it's someone from States. Isn't it great? We've gone that far. Oh, look at this. Got new chap here from Scotland. And I remember you joining as well, Aaron, and it feels like both of you now have been with us for so long, but it's much more than that, because you are both friends of ours now. But to be on this call now, recording, with Chris looking absolutely knackered, still very handsome, Chris, you know, don't let that detract. You look goosed because you have flown over from the States. It's crazy. And then we've got Aaron, who lives in this little village in Scotland. And I'm just watching the pair of you talking. I'm thinking,
also handsome. So, oh, hang on. You can't say one.
Aaron, you are so good looking. Very handsome as well. And Ben, so are you. I mean, I'm sort of the beauty on this call.
Right. Yeah, come on.
Should I move on quickly?
Come on.
Move on. As Ben said a short time ago, and I think it was just before you joined the call, there is nothing that warms our cockles more than this. To me, I go, man alive. This is because, well, for one, we all stopped drinking, but for two, we created this little community. And when it started, it was just me in it and Ben in it, because, you know, it's got to start somewhere. And then a couple more, and then a couple more. And of course, Neil, you know, one of our Zoomers now that you've already mentioned. And it's this power of connection. Maz, who I know you're both really good friends with as well, is another one of our community members. Listen back to Maz's podcast episode. It's fantastic. One of the things she said in the forum, I think, and I brought it up on the podcast, was that being alcohol free, it becomes the least interesting thing about you. She said, that's the least interesting thing about me now. It's about real friendships and real connections. And just from me and Ben, thank you both so much for doing what you do within the community, for being part of it. And for Chris, for you, giving us a bloody chance and for coming to say hello. Because if you hadn't, this call wouldn't be taking place now. Chris wouldn't be jet lagged in his hotel room waiting to fly back across the Atlantic. And Aaron, you wouldn't be goosed and knackered having, you know, driven 2 hours in the car to join this call. So thank you. It's frigging incredible. And it's just yet another example of how removing alcohol can change your life.
Absolutely. In the 4 days that Chris has been here, I've probably spent about £200 on fuel driving him around.
oh, great.
Commitment.
you know, I was thinking about swiping my card when we were just at the petrol station on the way here, and then I saw how expensive gas was here, and I was like, I put my phone back in my wallet. I'll get you if you ever come to the US, I'll gas is on me. So
well, that's the plan. Because this is now happening, is that I'm talking about going to the States next year in the summer to spend time with Chris, because he makes effort coming over. And that is just totally surreal. I mean, we were at the top of Goat Fell and Nile of Arran yesterday with the most awesome day, and just at the top taking a moment and going, one, none of this would have happened if it wasn't for OTI, but it also wouldn't have happened if we hadn't have been drinkers. So I don't necessarily regret any of my past history of drinking, because it's brought us to be here and to be together. And to say that my alcohol-free cup is overflowing is an understatement, because the connection through the Zooms is fantastic, absolutely fantastic. And that is key. But actually meeting up in person as well is just, it's quite mind-blowing, do you know?
Do you think it's completely and utterly bonkers? I've just Googled, and you guys are 3,218 miles apart, but yet you're building a lovely friendship. A friendship which is supportive and deep and regular. You know, this isn't like, I've got some fabulous friends, but because they live in different parts of the country, I'm not talking about the world, some of them are, further afield, but I don't really keep in touch as much as I should do. But Chris, you said you speak to OTO people pretty much every day. You weren't in the market for new mates, were you? Let alone new mates who you can go and visit and have a holiday.
No, not fantastic. At all.
What a
It's been totally unexpected. And like I was saying before, it is, I know it's kind of a cliche, but it really is just genuine friendships and genuine human connection. Like Kaz and Tim, for example, we had a nice chat at Ben Nevis. I didn't get to spend that much time with them. Like, I see Kaz on Zooms all the time, and literally we had the best day. And it was like, I've been friends with them for years. Like, it was just, us five on the ferry and just having amazing. I mean, we all like reflected on it. We're like, we haven't thought about drink. I mean, what would drinking bring to this? It was just an incredible day. And yeah, just real genuine friendship and real genuine connection, and Kaz offered for me to stay at her house, when I was talking about coming out here. And it's not like empty gestures or like empty things you say to people you kind of know. It was just like, it's just been amazing.
But why is that? Like, I feel like you guys are the perfect people to speak to about, and just, we might not get an answer to it, but just to try and examine, why does that happen when it comes to alcohol-free people? Why is that connection built so quickly? Why does it feel so genuine? Because we all have relationships, and especially when, I was drinking, I was very sociable and I'd speak to lots of people. There'd be lots of that kind of small talk thing in there, yes. But you'd feel like you were building connections. Go on, Chris, you want to jump in first?
I think, did Shaz say it on a podcast you were on? I can't remember. I think, like you said, because I was the same way. I was very extroverted, and I'm doing quotes here. Like, that's, I think, why I took to drinking so much, because I think I'm kind of more of an introverted person. I think it makes you kind of more extroverted, but I don't think it's in a genuine way. I think it's layers on layers that are covering kind of the real version of you. And I think, which I think Shaz has said before, I think when you stop drinking, all of that kind of gets stripped away, which is it's a little unnerving at first because you're kind of like raw and exposed. But I think I've tried to figure that out too. Like, what is it about? Why do you meet people on these events and it's just instant? And I think it's just cutting through. I think it's just kind of that built-in vulnerability that we're all very open. And, of course we have this in common that we're not drinking, but I think we're all kind of stripped down to who we really are. And it's just kind of an instant,
It can't just be that. That's the thing. Like, you don't get vegetarians instantly connecting because they don't eat meat. Yes, they might have something in common, but it doesn't mean that, like, it really is a kind of, literally everybody that you meet on one of these events, you get straight into a really good chat, not surface level, not crap. Like, you really get to know someone. Aaron, go on, you're a deep man.
Maybe Shaz's mom is putting something in the cookies there.
it's that gingerbread, to be honest with you, Chris. We know the score, don't we?
I think Chris hit the nail on the head there. He said it to me over this weekend as well. It's the fact that we're, I think, so open and vulnerable with each other, vulnerable being the key word, especially on the Zooms, that it's a safe place that we just open up. And I've cried a lot on Zooms, and certainly in the first 6 months, but also even very recently got very upset off the back of going away on holiday and realizing I was suffering from burnout from work. But I can go on the Zooms and talk, as well as in OTI events face to face, but you're just so open and vulnerable, and you might not necessarily be talking about anything related to alcohol free or alcohol. It's just day to day and what's going on in your life. I mean, Chris and I will send, we don't even text each other. We just send voice notes and WhatsApp to each other every day. And I probably would say that Chris is probably one of my best friends now. So I don't know why that's making me really emotional. Oh God, it hits me because the last time Chris was over and I said goodbye to him, I cried the whole way home because it just gets harder saying goodbye to somebody. I don't know. It's, yeah, sorry.
Don't be sorry. Please don't be sorry. This is one of the things I love the most about Over the Influence. And actually, one of the first things I say to people when they ask me about, oh, what's it about? It's about removing alcohol. You know, that's why we're all together. But actually, what's come out of this over the last few years, and I especially love it with the men, you know, men in society in general, we're not necessarily brought up to be vulnerable. You know, we are strong, silent types. You know, are we in pain? We don't show anybody. It's, I love that. Please be as emotional as you want to be, Aaron. It's absolutely lovely that that's how you feel about your friend who literally flew all the way 3,000 miles for tea. Like, it's it's amazing. You know, I want to go back to I want to dig in a little bit deeper to that kind of almost instant connection thing. I actually think it's something to do with that kind of take me or leave me approach that you have when you remove alcohol, that inner confidence that you have to know that you're doing something that's right for you. And I think because every single person who turns up on those things has that kind of, you know, it might not be there, you know, it's definitely something that grows as you build up more alcohol-free days. But there's definitely that kind of take me or leave. Is that, am I getting somewhere with that?
It's so interesting, isn't it? It's really hard to answer that question. And it genuinely, it is really, really hard to put your finger on it. It really, really is. And how often do we see it within the community, in these real life events, the connections are made instantly. And there's a saying, isn't there? We use it in the community. We've said it on the podcast 1,000 times. I've said it all over other sober socials. The opposite of addiction is connection. But I think so much of it is about just finding your tribe. And you know what, Ben? I sort of slightly disagree a bit. You know what you said about like vegetarians? I'm going to give an example. I'll tell you why. Because my brother and his fiance are both vegan and they get a lot of stick. You're like, oh, well, you're vegan. Well, you're not having your sausage butties. You know what I mean? And they do their thing. And you know what? They went to a vegan festival and they will seek out like a vegan event because it's their tribe. It's their people. People get it.
Yeah,
you're starting off from that. I suppose it's that level playing field, isn't it? But with alcohol, I think once you remove it, you remove the bullshit that comes with it. And it boils down to this is me. This is as good as it gets. And I don't think it's a cockiness. I don't think it's, hey, look at me. I'm brilliant. I'm living alcohol-free life. I've done this amazing thing. Because you get judged a lot by people that still drink, and I find that the biggest critics or the people that have got the most to say are usually the biggest drinkers. When you begin conversations with people that are the same as you, in that you've decided to remove alcohol, one, there's no judgment, and I think you find that, you know, unless you want to talk about it, you don't need to share why you've removed alcohol. You don't need to share your rock bottom. You don't need to say that you maybe only drank at weekends. Nobody cares. Like, literally nobody cares. It's, you don't drink, I don't drink, and there's your connection. And I've just proved my point. I can't answer the question because that went round the freaking houses trying to make some sort of point.
If we can answer that question and you could bottle that thing, like, society would be a better place. I think it's, I actually used to have an alter ego and he'd be called Party Ben, you know, and that was drinking me. I'm very embarrassed about that now. But so many of us drink to help us create this character that we think, actually, that's the version of me that will be the most popular, the most liked, the funniest, the coolest version of me. Whereas actually, when you remove it and you meet up with other people who've also decided to do the same thing, none of us are doing that character. None of us are putting on that face anymore. We're all just going, there you go. All right, you're Aaron from Scotland. Hiya. You're Chris from New
nice
York.
Nice to meet you.
I'm Ben. From Liverpool, you're right. You know, and is that it? Yeah. Is just that the removal of that shit that we think that society wants from us?
But how many people say, I'm one of these people, and this comes back to what Chris said as well earlier, I'm extrovert, me, I'm dead loud, I'm the party starter, you know, oh, bring all the drinks, and, you know, fun time, Frankie, and all the rest of it. Remove it, and then you're like, hang on a minute, was I ever extrovert? All right, I'm out of a big gob, but was I really as loud as I thought I was? Or maybe I'm a little bit more introverted than I thought I was. And it is like that onion thing again.
You're definitely as loud as you thought
you were.
All right,
I need you to back me up on that one. Thought you might say that. But in terms of being in the centre of it all and leading the conga and, hey, let's be the first to get drunk and the last to leave, it's all changed and it's all gone away. And it comes back to what we say so many times. Remove the booze and you completely reveal exactly who you are. And Ben, this is who you are, and I love you for who you are. You know, it's just the best thing ever working with you, and it's as good as it gets, sadly. I don't mean that, you know I don't. Aaron, meeting you, I've only ever known you, sober you. I've never known previous drinking Aaron, and I'm never going to meet him, which is fabulous. I love who you are. And Chris, my God, the friendship we've now got, because you wanted to come and say hello on a Zoom call in OTI. And you're brilliant. And this is you without alcohol. Again, I'll never know the previous version. I don't need to. And it's a wonderful thing. Terrifying at times when you strip it all back. But again, it's as good as it gets. And that is enough.
Can I just go back to the extrovert-introvert thing? It's really interesting because when you join the community, you hear people who are days ahead of you talking like that about, or discovering that I'm actually an introvert. And then before you know it, and you've got a good number of days under your own belt, suddenly you start realizing those things as well. And you start talking about the same things. And I look back on drinking me and realize that actually I was an introvert. I am an introvert, but actually I was perceiving myself as an extrovert. But if I look back at my drinking past, what I was doing was, my routine was I went to the pub every night, and as a minimum I had 2 pints of Guinness, and then I would come home and have a bottle of wine. And actually that coming home to have a bottle of wine part was that I didn't like getting drunk in front of people, and people had this perception of me that he can handle his drink and he knows his limit and knows when to go home. But realistically what I was doing was having a couple of pints in the pub and being like, right, see you later, I need to go home. But I was just wanting to go home to drink that bottle of wine and to get drunk, essentially. And that was my routine. And I look back on it and think there was so much time wasted. I don't really regret it I don't regret the money that I spent, because I can't change the past. I can just change what I'm doing now. But what I suppose I do regret, or it doesn't certainly sit comfortable with me, is that I used to avoid time seeing my parents or seeing my sister and my niece and nephews because I actually just wanted to go home and drink. And I would avoid seeing them and having those connections. And I think that's what certainly my early days of sobriety in the kind of pre-six month stage, why I was getting so upset was when I was spending time with family, I was realizing, wow, like I've just, you know, wasted so much time and how much of a hold alcohol actually had of me. You know, it's sad. It's really sad. I think I was saying to Kelly today, so Chris, Kelly and I went and did a wee bit of Glasgow today, and we were having a coffee and a cake in Kelvin Grove Art Gallery. And I just feel really passionate now that I almost want to spread the good word about being alcohol free, but not being too preachy about it, and thinking what platform and how can I tell people how great this is? Do you know, I squeeze it into every conversation that I possibly can, but not in a, like, oh my God, look at me sort of way. I mean, we were in two museums today because that's how fun I am.
I was going to say, you literally do squeeze it in because you somehow told the lady at the museum that we were part of an alcohol-free group.
We were actually part of an alcohol-free group, and that's why we're all together just now. And
brilliant.
You know, anywhere I can, I throw it in.
I really, really enjoyed listening to that. Aaron, thank you. Chris, thank you. We are just about out of time. One final question for me then, before you both go. And I will come to, who should I pick on first? Chris, because Aaron is wincing at the absolute thought. Chris, rewind to when you were first listening to OTI, and I think it's really important actually, and it's a really valid thing to share, a really important thing to share, that you were listening and you were still drinking, but it was sowing the seeds, and that's what it's about. Fast forward to today in your hotel room, you're about to fly back to the States. If you could sum up what Over the Influence means to you, what would you say?
Oh man, yeah, it's so tricky, but it's so tricky to think back. I think as human beings, we get so used to what our normal is, which I think is a real double-edged sword. Because obviously, when you're in the drinking, you know, and all that, I think you get used to that. I think obviously the nature of you and Ben and what you've created in the podcast as a whole, and just kind of that upbeat. I mean, I think there's really nothing like it in the US. I think that's why I gravitated so much toward it. I think it's the approach, which is actually the reality, which is there is life beyond this toxic addictive substance, which sounds obvious to me now, but I know that when you're in the midst of it, it's hard to imagine. So I think having such a positive, upbeat, you know, approach and way of looking at this new lifestyle and everything is just huge. And I think for anybody listening who would be in those early stages, like I was, like you really, it is a leap of faith. You really do have to trust that everybody who's made the decision to do it is not just, it's not just lying. I mean, it really, because I think even part of me listening to you bang on about it when I was hungover and really feeling hopeless, I mean, it is hard to imagine, which is crazy to think about now. But I think when you're in the midst of it, it is so hard to believe that you could be without this thing and have such a more full, fulfilling life, you know, because you really do think your life's going to be over. But I don't know. Am I making any sense? I have no idea.
It's making beautiful sense.
But no, I think it's been huge. I think what you guys are doing is unique. And I think that's why it's, people are joining from the US, people are joining from all over, because it really is, you know, it's so important to have, you know, something to cling on to and something to believe in, seeing other people having such a positive experience. So it's been huge for me. I mean, it really gave me hope and kind of was enough to push me into kind of taking that leap of faith.
And we're so glad you did, Chris. Thank you. Think the world of you. Thank you so much. Aaron, you also took that leap of faith with OTI. What's it done for you?
It saved me years of wasting my life. You know, as I said, I only ever planned on doing Dry January and just needed, I joined because I had my sister's 40th at the end of Dry January at that weekend, and I needed some support to get through that. And at the time was in a relationship that the other person was very unsupportive of my drinking. And it just felt like the world was against me. And as much as I was listening to the podcast and I had that, you almost need the accountability of others. And I still join Zooms regularly. So it's always evening Zooms that I'm on. That's why as much as I know Ben, I can't make the morning Zooms that when you're hosting them, but I'm always on an evening Zoom. I absolutely love it. And that's, I think, why I then started stepping in and hosting the odd Zoom here and there, is because even though I'm now coming up to a year, it's still important joining, and just when new people are joining the community and are on the Zooms and everything they're talking about, it's very familiar to what you probably said when you first joined the community, but it just reminds you, this is why I'm doing it. And I think it's equally important for then me to have 5-10 minutes speaking on a Zoom in the evening, so that those people where I once was can look up and go, wow, right, that's where I could be. When we're on Zoom, there's a little chat box that comes up and you can type things in. And sometimes when I'm talking, something flashed up recently, and it was somebody who was on 5 days saying, oh my God, wow, I can't even imagine trying to be there exactly where you are. But I think the biggest secret is that you just take each day as it comes. And rather than trying to look too far and thinking that I will never be able to get there, you just take each day, and before you know it, you're at 332 days. It's so very happy and very grateful. And I said that to you, Shaz, in a message yesterday or the day before. Thank you for creating this. So, yeah.
And you're more than welcome. And, you know, for so many people that say, why'd you do it? Why'd you do it? Why'd you bang on about sobriety? This is why, because it changes lives. We're not changing lives. We're just giving people a bit of a helping hand. You're changing your own lives. And there is, Jesus Christ, if you're listening to this now and you are still drinking, because that's what happened with Aaron, that's what happened with Chris, yes, there is hope. And we've even got an episode called Susan McGarry, The Believer, because like you, you know, she didn't believe. She didn't believe, but she just... There is hope. Keep believing. Your life will change beyond belief if you just give yourself a bloody chance. Thank you so much, you two, for joining us on this episode. It has been fan-flipping-tastic because I think it just nails for us what Over the Influence is about. It's about connection. It's about true, beautiful friendships. And it's about having a bloody good laugh along the way. Chris, thank you. And sort of sorry, Soz, because I know you're thinking, Charles, you bloody pen in the ass. I've got a flight to catch. I'm knackered. Aaron, Soz, because I know you were driving up the motorway and you're having a flipping nightmare. It's brilliant to be back. Thank you both so, so much. That's all I've got to say. Thank you.
Thank you.
Yeah, thank you.